Part of what we're doing this Missions Month is highlighting, celebrating, making us aware of both the local mission that God has given us here in our own community, or in our own Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, and then to the outermost parts of the earth, out globally, as you see the flags from the different countries. Next week, you're going to be hearing from Pastor Pierre in Haiti as one of those missionaries. Downstairs this morning, if you were here in our morning Christian education classes, you heard from Reverend Tom Lehman at the Sunday Breakfast Mission. And so we're highlighting these both local and global missions, and what we want to highlight today, what we're calling mission in hard places, because we want to highlight prison ministry and a local here in Delaware, a local ministry that we have here as a church. And so before I introduce the guys that will be coming up as a special interview today, I want to pray before we get into that. Heavenly Father, as we come before you here this morning, we recognize that there are a variety of people here this morning. Lord, we are in different places in our hearts this morning as we come in. Some of us are here ready to worship, and our hearts are soft, and we have been singing along, and these words have been falling on warm hearts that have been receiving it, and we have been worshiping you. And Lord, the reality is some of us are here today, and the music that was sung might have been beautiful, but it's just kind of bouncing off hardened hearts, or our minds are occupied with challenges or difficulties in our own lives, the things that are going on in our family, the brokenness of the chains that are on us, and of addiction and hurt or hiding or whatever it is that we bring into this place. Lord, we all baggage. We all bring that as we come. We can't leave it. We bring it with us. And so, Lord, wherever we are this morning, may you minister to us through these messages, Lord, that we hear this morning. And Lord, may it fall on softened hearts who are able to receive this message and hear it as if for the first time. So minister to us this morning, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's kind of a special Sunday, as I said. We're not going to have a sermon this morning. The sermon is actually going to be the lives of two men who had their lives transformed by the gospel in using the prison system as a vehicle to bring them to the gospel truth of Jesus Christ. And so these are two vital parts of our church here, two men that are part of Brandywine Valley Baptist Church. And so we want to give a warm Brandywine welcome to Chaplain Steve Anderson and Tim Santa Barbara as they come up. Come on up, guys. All right, welcome, guys. So glad to have you here. Chaplain Steve Anderson, who works with Prison Outreach of Delaware, and then Tim Santa Barbara, who's a part of our church here. And so we're glad to have you guys. Let's start. Chaplain Steve, would you just talk a little bit about prison ministry?
Sure. So my name is Steve Anderson, and I'm with Prison Outreach of Delaware. We've been around since 1963, believe it or not, in the Delaware prison system. We started with Youth for Christ at Ferris School, and about a year later, Youth for Christ stayed with juvenile detention centers, excuse me, and we moved on to adult corrections. And so, my mind just went blank. I think I'm a little more comfortable speaking with inmates. Sorry about that. our founder, Ralph Cavanaugh, he passed the baton over to Joe Kaki. Many of you know Joe Kaki. He spent 42 years with our ministry, just recently retired in May. But he's still the facility chaplain at Howard R. Young Correctional Institution in Wilmington that has about 1,700 men. And I primarily work with him throughout the week there. We also have one of my coworkers, Tim Heald. He's down at Vaughan Correctional Center. That's the largest institution in the state with about 2,600 men. And so we take the gospel of Christ, the good news, into the prisons, and we share it. And we try to bring people to know the Lord and then help them to grow in their faith and make disciples. A lot kind of like what we do here. We do that through chapel services, through Bible studies, through counseling sessions. We have Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday evening services and Bible study and counseling throughout the week.
And how long have you been a missionary with this ministry?
I've been with Prison Outreach since 1999.
And we've been a supporting church pretty
most
early
of that
on,
time.
Most
probably,
of that time.
Yep, since probably about 2001.
And many of you already know Steve's family, but why don't you introduce your family as well? We have a slide, I think, for that as well.
My wife, Rochelle. Many of you know her from the children's ministry. And my daughter, Rebecca, who's 15, Stephen, who just turned 12, and Jacob, who's 9. That's down to the Sunday Breakfast Mission this past Christmas season. We took the Christmas concert down to the mission.
Excellent. And so now what got you involved in prison ministry? I can't imagine, you know, probably not a whole lot of kids out there saying when I grow up, I want to be, you know, prison chaplain. Probably not a whole lot of those kids out there. How did you get involved in that ministry?
Sure. So I was primarily led to the prison through my past experiences, through my past life before Christ. Like so many of the people that I minister to, around 13 years old, I started smoking weed and drinking and was really just swept up in the party scene. And one thing led to the next. I experimented with harder drugs. PCP was my drug of choice. And all in all, from about 13 to 23, abused drugs and was addicted to drugs. Had some fun in the beginning, but really I had no idea what I was getting myself involved in. And, you know, overdosed or went unconscious more times than I can remember. I mean, it got bad. So much so that all in all, probably 10 arrests, 4 times incarcerated. And in 1992, right at the end of my addiction, I was arrested 4 times in a short period of time, you know, getting bailed out and then being rearrested. And the judge finally said, listen, you have to stay for 6 months. So I did 6 months, which is funny when I share that in jail, because some guys have real long. So since 6 months seems like a very short time, but it was long to me. And it basically brought me to my knees, and I was broken. I was crushed. And the scripture, Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. And I was bankrupt. My spirit was broken. Isaiah says that a broken and a contrite heart you do not despise. A bruised reed you will not crush. Well, I was a bruised reed. Things were bad. Things were falling apart. Life was out of control. Everything that I touched turned to ashes. Everything that I tried, I failed. Schools, colleges, jobs. But that was all part of God's plan, I believe, to bring me to my knees. And I went to an AA meeting July 23rd, 1993. And I met a Christian guy who just committed his life to me, committed to sharing the gospel with me, to discipling me, to helping me along out of this darkness. And he's a wonderful man. Bill Blake is his name. And he just continued to teach me and show me. We had a ministry with 40 guys in his basement that we would reach into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous and bring guys who wanted to get sober by following Jesus Christ. And that's where I learned to utilize my gifts, my ministry, that I'm using them, the same gifts that I'm using today to do the same thing. And so God is good. And so after that, about a year later, I was enrolled at Philadelphia Biblical University, where I met my wife, was able to play basketball, and God was truly restoring the years that the locusts were eating. And just it was a beautiful thing to have a second chance at life. I count myself very blessed to get out of that lifestyle early. I was 23 years old. And after college, I got a job as a drug and alcohol counselor at Price's Corner. And that's what led to my current position here at Prison Outreach of Delaware.
So Lord, use your own very own experiences, incarcerated and drug, you know, drug addictions, calling you out of that and then back into it.
Amen.
To minister to those that the Lord wanted you to minister to. And I always find fascinating those stories where there's like that one guy who happened to be at the right place at the right time, Bill Blake, and just saw you and said, you know, this is somebody I want to pour into. And
absolutely,
where would you be if there wasn't just that one guy probably doing a ministry that most people probably had no idea, just kind of quietly ministering and transformed a life, and now the Lord's using it to transform so many other people's lives. Pretty amazing.
Yeah, it is. That was Bill.
Yeah. And so, Chaplain Steve, what does a day in or a week in prison outreach look like? I mean, how many of you have been either in prison, but, you know, arrested or incarcerated or visited? How many of you? Okay. Pretty small number here. Okay, so most people here probably don't know what that's like. Maybe they have, you know, TV shows, Orange is the New Black or whatever. Don't watch that. It's not a good show to watch. But that's like your image, right, of prison. So what's prison like?
So as I mentioned, we do services on Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday evenings. And basically our role is to train a choir and a band to then minister to the rest of the prison who come down for chapel services. So we do that by preaching, by teaching Bible studies, individual counseling, and basically ministering in other different educational ways as well. One of the things that I try to remember when I go into the prison is that the needs are so overwhelming that I use Galatians 2:20, where Jesus said, or where Paul said, "I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. You know, this life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me." I turn that into a prayer because in and of myself, I can't do anything in there. I can't really accomplish much, but Christ in me, working through me, directing me to the guys that need to hear and need to be loved, that's what works. A silly illustration the Lord just showed me, you know, I bought these shoes, right, at BJ's, $10, right? Eddie Bauer shoes, didn't know they came so cheap, right? But anyway, it was a real hot day, and I'm putting on some chapstick, right? And it was the oil base. All of a sudden, I put it on, and it falls right on my shoe, right? So I got this oil spot on my brand new shoes. So I was trying to rub it off, trying to clean it off, and I couldn't get it off. So there's this little oil spot about half the size of a dime. And this went on for about a year until finally, about 3 months ago, I said, I got to get this oil spot off. So I look online, Google it like everybody else does. And probably some of you already know this, but if you put some talcum powder on the, I'm embarrassing my daughter, I think. I put some talcum powder on the oil spot. It said that it will take it away. So I thought, oh man, that sounds great. I'm going to do that. Well, 3 months went by until last night. I decided to do it, and sure enough, it works. All right. And
so that's a nice life hack, by the way. Keep that in mind. All right.
So the whole point of that is that as we go into the prison, there's a lot of people that don't know the answer, that they don't have the solution to their life. My problem, I didn't know, and you don't know what you don't know. And then even when I did know, I didn't apply it. I didn't put on the fix. And so our job in the prison is to bring the gospel, bring the hope to people who don't know. And then the people that hear it but still don't act on it, we want to encourage them. We want to exhort them and to follow through with the scripture, with the gospel. And so that's what we do. We also meet with guys once they get out of prison. Matter of fact, Tim and I joined up with a Bible study at the Well. He's going to talk a little bit about that later in Hokesson. For guys that want to get out, we have a lunch, a nice Bible study. Some of the things that Tim and I do, and we offer this to any of the people that come through our ministries, we have lots of, you know, we're full-time missionaries, so we're doing things like this all the time, speaking in churches, and Tim has been so gracious to help. We spoke on Trinity Broadcasting Network multiple times. We've had, you know, different opportunities to speak and to be interviewed by our old college magazine, and speaking at churches and small groups and our banquet. And so, and I guess in April, we're going to be speaking at the Wilmington Christian Chapel. And so, you know, as much as Tim is helping us in our ministry, it's also a place for the guys to get exposure to exercise the gifts that God has given them and grow in leaps and bounds. And so, you know, one of the other things that I'll mention briefly is when I was getting sober, when I was going through my addiction, I was really, my mom was right there with me all along. And it really broke her heart. And one of the things, she really, really just committed to me. She didn't give up on me. She stuck. She hung in there. And it was really a big part of me getting sober and following the Lord. But one of the things that I have the privilege of doing now is to receive calls from mothers and grandmothers and whoever who have kids or grandchildren in addiction or incarcerated, and we can go in and help. And I've just committed myself to helping parents in that way. And it's one of my favorite parts of the ministry is to be able to get into prison quickly and let them know that their loved ones care for them and if there's any way that we can help.
Excellent. So, you know, Tim's up here. How did the two of you meet in the first place?
Sure. We met at the Plummer Center, okay, which is a work release facility in Wilmington. That's another aspect of the job. I have a Bible study there. And I ran into Tim at a Bible study. He came faithfully. And one of the things I noticed about Tim is that he was always working. He worked in the cafeteria. And then once we got to know each other outside of the prison, he always had a job. He was always working. And as I've learned over the years, helping a guy transition to prison back into society, having that good work ethic and knowing how to work and being willing to work really, really goes a long way. Some of the guys that I minister to have never had jobs. Some of them never been out of the city even. And so it's difficult. And so Tim was hardworking, but he also was sensitive to the Holy Spirit. It's amazing how he really was depending on God. He was depending on the Lord, and I think it was because he came from so far down, and he knew that his way didn't work. It was a failure. And so I admire that sensitivity of seeking the Holy Spirit. And finally, just service. He loves to serve, as I mentioned, the long list of things that he helped out with.
And so, Tim, welcome. Good to have you here. You're in the Plummer Center, so that means, you know, there's some things in your life that you got convicted for, and you had to be in there. What led to you being in the Plummer Center to begin with that you ran into Chaplain Steve?
Well, I guess I'd have to start all the way back at the beginning. When I was 12 years old, I began running the streets in Ellesmere, Delaware, right here. By age 13, I was smoking weed and doing coke and heroin and drinking. I caught my first charge when I was 15 years old. I've joined a gang. I've spent most of my life in prison and facilities, lockup facilities, juvenile facilities, NA, AA, rehabs, doctors, and all that kind of stuff. And it was about 2010, I was sitting at my kitchen table and I had just got done shooting up some drugs, and I sat there and I basically made a deal with the devil. And I said, okay, this is it. I'm just going to be a gangster the rest of my life and a drug addict, and this is how I'm going to die. And I was completely at peace with it. And it was the next day that I caught the charge that led me to meet Steve Anderson through a whole bunch of trials and everything else. The prosecution, after doing time and everything, told the judge, well, let's give him 90 days with no probation to follow. Just basically let him free. And which 99% of the time, the judge goes with the prosecution. This time, the judge had another, God had another plan. It didn't have anything to do with the judge or the prosecution. The judge said, nope, 6 months level five, which is level five is incarceration, actual incarceration in the prison, and a year level three, which level three is you go and see a probation officer once a week. And it was because of that 6 months, the jail was so overcrowded, I did 3 months in actual prison, and the last 3 months, they sent me to the Plummer Center, where I met Steve. So that's how him and I came to meet.
All right, so help us understand this, because you get out of the Plummer Center, and the first person you call is Chaplain Steve, and you're doing these Bible studies and everything, but getting in right before you went in there, you know, you're shooting up and making a deal with the devil about your soul, you know, that he's got it, essentially. Help us fill in some gaps. How did it happen from that moment to calling Chaplain Steve as you get out?
Well, it was weird. At this time in prison when I went in, I picked up actually this Bible, which is rebound. My fiance rebounded for me for Christmas. It's a 50-cent Bible with a leather cover on it now, with the pages falling out of the middle. Well, they're not falling out anymore. It's rebound. And I started reading the Word, and it was the weirdest thing. This time was the first time in prison that I actually, it was almost like I had a force field or a bubble around me, and I was left to my own thoughts. I was really the Holy Spirit's thoughts, because I just read. And I read, and I wrote, and I read some more, and I wrote. And that's what I spent most of my time doing in there, besides working. And but it was the first time in prison I was left alone. But this time I did get out of prison, and I called Steve right away, but I did go right back to drinking. I was right back up to drinking a gallon of vodka a day, quick. But I was coming here. I started coming here, and I walked through his front doors, and I looked around, and I said, I got to get out of here, man. This place is not for me. And it was Miss Winnie Jones, God bless her soul. She grabbed hold of me, and she told me she loved me. And she said, thank you for being here. And it was like a wall came down. And I stayed. I dug my heels in downstairs at DHS, Rob Ricci's Bible study class, and I just got plugged in. I started staying, and nobody condemned me. Nobody pointed their finger at me. It was love. I got ministered to by Steve and Rob and Jason, and there was a group of people that kind of came around me, and Pastor Bo was very encouraging, and they just showed me love. And it was one night in my mother's basement, and I was down there by myself. I was drunk, and it all made sense. Everything that I was reading and writing, and I couldn't make sense of all these things I was feeling inside, and it all just made sense at the same time, and I cried. I sobbed, and I dropped on my knees, and I said, Lord, I understand now. I can't do this on my own. Please take this demon from me. You have to take it. I give my life to you. And it was like a light switch went off, and I threw the bottle away. And what usually takes about 2 weeks for DTs, because I've done it many times, 2 days. And the third day, I was great. Since then, it's just been a whirlwind of God moving in my life, God moving mountains. He took the alcohol, the drugs, cigarettes. I have my family back. I'm going to college at Liberty University. And like I said in the last service, 4 years ago, I didn't even own a pair of my own underwear or socks or anything. And here it is 4 years later, I'm going to college, I have a fiance, I got my family back.
And you have multiple pairs of underwear now.
Multiple pairs of underwear, man.
He does.
Multiple pairs, and socks.
It's good.
So yeah, I'm really living the dream.
That's right, man. Woo! You. Somebody capture that and send it to Hanes or Fruit of the Loom. This guy will be their spokesman from now on.
Love you.
You know, a couple of things I just want to point out in your story. One is Miss Winnie Jones. Some of you, many of you know her, but she passed away this past year, and she was one of those special people that got a hold of Tim at a very important time. And we have many like that, but we need many more. So Miss Winnie Jones isn't with us anymore, and so we need others to take up the mantle of Miss Winnie Jones and do that same kind of thing here at this church. So I hope maybe the Lord speak to you about that kind of just subtle ministry that you can have to guys like Tim that are here. But the other thing is, it's just a beautiful story both of you share about, you know, God was constantly in the business of not letting you go. What the enemy thought he had you. Man, I've got this guy. He even vowed to me, I've got him. And God was like, no. No one's outside of my sovereign grace and my touch. And he just drew you to himself and used Satan as a little pawn in that scheme of his grand plan. So it's just a beautiful, beautiful thing to hear and to watch in your life. Steve, going back to you, why was it so important to get Tim here meaningfully engaged in the church?
Well, I really believe that the Holy Spirit is working within the body of Christ. That's where he does his primary work. And if we can get a man that comes out of prison and comes through our program into the body of Christ, then the body of Christ can surround him and support him and help him. And that's exactly what Tim did. It was a wonder to watch him get plugged in and really do the things that we've been preaching for years and years, and then watch his life change. And I think when he started to see that, he dug in more and just kept doing it. And it was more than just, you know, coming to the church service, which is great, but he didn't stop there. He went to Sunday school and got involved in small group and helps with Awana and just going all in. And I think that's what Jesus calls us to be, right? All in. And so that's kind of the main first things we try to do with a guy that comes out, because we need help. The needs are overwhelming. And no one person or any 10 people can do all that's needed.
So it's really important to get them plugged in, and that's really that's all of us, but getting these guys and girls plugged into the church where the body can minister to them in all ages and stages of life, which is exactly was the case in Tim's life. Tim, share a little bit about some of the ways that God has had you growing over these past 4 years.
Like you said, I have underwear and socks now. more importantly, I have my family back. He restored my life. I owe nothing to the government, not a dollar. From my first charge at 15 years old to my last charge in 2010, and a lifetime of building up fines and court costs, I don't owe the government anything. I'm completely free and clear. I used to think freedom was when they said bags and baggage on the speaker in your cell, which means you're leaving. That's the day you're leaving. You pack your stuff and you're going down to prison. I used to think that was freedom. But true freedom is only found in Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
And since then, like I said, I'm going to college, Liberty University. And after I complete that, hopefully I'll be here with you, Pastor Nate, and working with you lovely people in whatever capacity Pastor Nate sees fit. For a period of time, just to get some learning under my belt. He's also led me to start a ministry, Broken Beginnings, which is just that, for people that need to have a broken beginning, because I believe, and God's laid it on my heart, that every single person that walks the face of this earth, besides Jesus, has a broken beginning.
Mm-hmm.
That we are broken individuals. Adam mm-hmm. started it way back then, and everybody since then is broken.
Mm-hmm.
And we equally need Jesus. So Broken mm-hmm. Beginnings is like basically equal ground. Nobody's above anybody else, and we all equally need Jesus. So we sit and we minister to these guys, partnered up with Prison Outreach of Delaware. So when he brings guys out, he brings them to the Bible study, and we're just able to just sit and talk about Jesus mm-hmm. and our need for him.
Mm-hmm. So it's open to anybody who wants to come. It would be especially good for maybe those that are struggling with issues of addiction or a brokenness area or incarceration or anything like that, but it's open to everybody.
Everybody, absolutely.
And it happens on what, Sundays?
Sundays at 1 o'clock at the Well Marketplace in Hocassin. It's owned by Trinity Community Church. I opened it up. It's just for us, so it's not like the whole place is open, so there's not tons of people there. It's actually closed on Sundays, but I open it up and just I have a little bit of food there, and we just sit, fellowship, and we get in the Word.
Great.
So every Sunday at 1 o'clock, everybody's
awesome.
Welcome.
Awesome. And Tim was baptized here almost, what, how many years ago
almost
now?
Almost
4 years ago by Pastor Bo Matthews, baptized. He and his fiance, Gervais, who are getting married. Do you have your date yet?
July 14th.
July 14th.
At 4 o'clock.
Yeah. And they're going to be becoming members here very soon. So God has just been at work, and Tim was part of. I do the Shepherd's small group guys. The guys I see potential leadership in and developing them, and so forth. And Tim was a part of that. It's just awesome to watch Tim growing before our eyes. He's involved in so many areas of ministry, and the Lord's really got a hold of your heart. And so we're so glad that you're with us, Steve. Just as we begin to wrap things up here, what are some things you'd like people to know?
Sure. Well, hopefully you've learned one thing, some different things about Prison Outreach of Delaware today. If you come through our ministries, you will own your own underwear someday. So hopefully that, but more importantly than that, I wanted to share, just because I didn't get a chance to share, just some vital things that go on in the prison. 20,000 men either enter or exit the Gander Hill Prison in Wilmington, Howard R. Young Correctional. There's 1,700 men there. So it's a busy place, people coming and people going. When you come into the prison, you have to kind of declare what religion you're going to follow. And so as of last week, 77 men are signed up for the Catholic services in the prison. 233 are signed up for the Muslim services. And 402 are signed up for the Protestant services. Excuse me. So that gives you an idea about who's getting involved where. At the chapel services. I just want to take a second to thank Brandywine Valley. And as I look around the crowd, I see so many people that have supported our ministry. I have some 15-year-old pictures of some of them out in the gathering hall if you want to take a look at them. But year after year, the church, but then individuals as a whole, have really got behind our ministry. And many have come into the prison as well. And so thank you, thank you, thank you. I can't imagine what our ministry would be like without you. And so I'm really appreciative of that. We're also going to put together a team of like about 3 to 5 people within the congregation. If you want to come into the prison and have a chapel service with the guys, we'd love to have you. If you're teachable, if you're willing to serve, come speak with me. I'll be out in the gathering hall, in the gathering area after the service. I'd love to talk to you more about that. But if I could take a minute just to talk with... maybe the students or the young people here, or anybody really for that matter, if you're looking at Tim and I and you say, wow, you guys have really come through, you know, how bad can drugs really be? Because look at Tim, look at Steve, they made it through and they're fine. They seem to be doing just fine. Well, for one, I hope you're not thinking that, but if you are, just remember that for every Tim and for every Steve, there's literally dozens and dozens, if not hundreds of people that don't make it, that die in jail, that lead a miserable, miserable existence, that tear apart their families. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, let that just sink in. It's only by the grace of God that we made it out. I couldn't have predicted the end of my life or my sobriety. Mm. And I don't think Tim could have either. I think a much better testimony is a testimony like my wife's testimony, Rochelle, who grew up in a Christian home, who learned how to resist temptation from an early age. She trusted Jesus young, and she learned how to walk and stay under the protection of Christ and resist sexual immorality and all the things that the world has to offer. Mm. And she learned to grow up that way. That's a beautiful testimony as well. And sometimes I think that's forgotten. That's a life of much more peace and joy than some of the things that we had to go through.
Amen. Amen. Tim, really, what would you like to share with everyone before we close this time as well?
I'd like to encourage everybody, old, young, students, if you feel that you are just too far gone or too far backslidden or can't be forgiven or unloved or unworthy, they are just lies from the devil. Mm. It says in God's word in Romans 10:9, if you proclaim with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Today is the day of salvation. Mm. Don't miss out. Don't wait another day. For God, he loves you so much. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son that you could have life. And you can have it today. Everlasting life. You can start that today. Today is the day of salvation. Yeah. I encourage each of you, if you feel like that, if you feel lost, if you feel broken, or you feel just unworthy, come and talk to one of us. Pastor Nate or somebody involved with the church, come and pray with, we'll pray with you. We could talk about what that looks like in your life, salvation and accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior and to start walking with him. Get you plugged in into the groups we have here. Many great groups. I just encourage you to do that. Remember, today is the day of salvation. Don't miss it.
Mm. Amen. Amen. Q, thank these guys for being here with us today. Would you pray with me as we close? Heavenly Father, I thank you for your hand, your sovereign grace that has been upon these men. Lord, that you pluck them out from the grasp of the enemy who was trying to sift them like wheat. But Lord, we thank you that there are people that have been praying for them, the unknown people, prayer warriors, mothers and grandparents and cousins and church members, Lord, praying for these men's souls, and Lord, that you and your grace and your mercy plucked them out of the fire, and Lord, drew them unto yourself. Lord, may we give you the glory for that. We thank you that you, through the power of the gospel, transform lives. That, Lord, we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. And so, Lord, thank you that not only is it the power of salvation, but it's the power of transformation, Lord, that these men have changed, that the chains are gone and they have been set free, Lord. They are no longer the people that they were. They are a new creation in Christ. The old is gone, and the new has come. And so, Lord, thank you for the work that you have done and the work that you are doing in their lives. But we pray for anyone who's here today who might have came in not knowing this hope of Jesus, or had been bouncing off of hard hearts. Maybe they just thought they were too far gone from your reach. Lord, may they know that you are near, that you are ready to drop grace on them, grace after grace, upon them at the moment of belief. And so, Lord, may they pray to you. May they believe that Jesus Christ is the only Son of God, the perfect one who came from heaven, lived a perfect life that none of us could live. He died an innocent death in our place as our substitute. That he paid for our sin that deserved death. He paid our past, our present, our future, our whole rap sheet of sin. Once and for all, on that cross that day, bearing our shame. Lord, that 3 days later, he rose from the dead. He did not stay dead, but he rose from the grave to show the power over sin and death, that we too will be raised again on that day. Lord, they might believe that truth. They might be breathing eternally, even this morning, Lord, by believing that and have their lives changed. Lord, you can do that through your power. May they believe and may they want to be drawn near to you today. So we thank you for the ministry of these men. Continue to keep them and hold them. Keep them far from the enemy, the grasp of the enemy in many ways in their lives. And would you have a ripple effect because of their ministry out to our community? Would they be a lighthouse of the gospel to those who do not yet know you? And to those who do know you, they might be a greenhouse where they can help to encourage others to grow deep roots in the faith and be sent out as a powerhouse. And Lord, now we turn our attention to the opportunity to give back to you, our tithes and our offering. Lord, as we prepare to give, may you use these gifts in powerful ways to accomplish your mission here, to introduce people to Christ and help them follow him, to become disciples who are making disciples here in our own Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and out to the ends of the world. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. God's people said, amen. Amen.